The Bible said in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I don't know about you, but I like the mercies of God. Amen. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I thought about preaching on sacrificing our children tonight. That's a message I'm pondering in my mind. And I thought about preaching it tonight on sacrificing our children. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his child, was he not?
Amen.
Now, I know that's a picture of Jesus Christ. I'll just give you this little thought tonight, and then we'll get back to the message. I know that's a picture of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Amen. But I believe there's a whole lot more there than what than just a picture of Jesus Christ. God was trying to do something to Abraham.
Sure.
And he wasn't trying to show him Jesus Christ. He was trying to give him something. Mm-hmm. And that is the idea of sacrificing his children. If you're not willing to sacrifice your children to God, you'll sacrifice them to the devil. Amen? Your children are going to get sacrificed in this walk of life. You can either choose to sacrifice them to God, or you can sacrifice them to the world, or sacrifice them to the devil. Amen? I'll preach that next time I come. Amen? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if we wrote that, we looked and we got to talking about how we were to present our bodies a living sacrifice, how we were to be holy and acceptable to God, we would think we accomplished something. Amen? I mean, we'd thumb our lapels and we'd think, boy, we have done something for God. We would not put down in the Bible that that's just reasonable service. We would think we've went above and beyond. I mean, to be holy, to be a sacrifice, to be acceptable to a holy, righteous God, we think we accomplished something. God said, no, it's just your reasonable service. He says in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. And here's what I want to preach on tonight, will of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And God, I'm certainly unworthy to be able to preach out of the blessed word of God. And Lord, these people sitting here on these pews are your children. And God, you've given us the command as preachers to feed your sheep. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just help me, Lord, preach with power. Not for my glory, not for my honor, but God, that I may lift up my Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, not only that, but that I might be able to help your children. And God, above and beyond that, is if there's somebody here lost, it's going to hell. They've never repented of that lost condition. They've never been truly born again. Their heart and their life has never been changed by the Holy Ghost of God, washing their sins away and sealing their soul for eternity. And God, I pray for them tonight that you would save their soul, and I pray they'd let you do just exactly what you want. Father, help each and every one of us in this building tonight to submit ourselves fully unto you. And let the Holy Ghost have his way.
Yes.
That we might be found pleasing to you when the service is done. In Jesus' name, God, I pray. Amen, amen. I want to preach to you tonight on that last little phrase, the will of God. The will of God. That is a multi-million dollar question in the ministry. I'd venture to say Brother Mark has had people come to him in the years and try to ask him what the will of God is. Or at the very least say, preacher, I'm praying for the will of God in my life. Amen? If you're saved tonight, you've been saved any length of time at all, God's ever stirred your heart about anything of serving him, there's come a point in your life where you have come to yourself, you've come to the pastor, you've come to the pastor's wife, you've come to the brothers and sisters in the church, you've come to somebody, and you've talked to them and had a conversation with them about the will of God for your life. Now, I wish I had a magic wand tonight, I really do. I wish I had a magic wand that I could just wave over here and I could go right down the pews, amen, and every head that's sitting in here and tell you exactly what the will of God is for your life. I wish I had that, but I don't. I could tell you the basics, but I can't get down into the nitty-gritty of what God has for you. But you can get there. You can get along with God. You can find out what God has for you to do. I want to say this tonight about the will of God. It's going to be a real simple thought tonight that I hope will bring some conviction to your heart, some challenge to your life. Let me look at this saying. We see here when we think about the will of God, we tend to think about, like we've been talking, the deeds that we must perform, or the ministry must serve in, or the job we're going to work, the house we're going to buy, the car we're going to buy, you know, all these things, how we're going to raise our children. Let's look at it this way tonight. Let's look at the will of God as it is an actual will. Amen? A will. You know, the one that people leave when they die. They leave this world and they leave behind a will. God did come to this earth, did he not?
Amen.
He was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ was. Amen. God sent down from heaven. Amen. Took upon himself the form of man and became a man like as we are and like passions as we are, yet without sin. And he lived 33 years upon the face of this earth. God came and dwelt upon the face of this earth. Did he not? Amen. And he died upon Calvary. And he was buried, and the third day he rose again. He showed himself to about 500 brethren. He had prayer meeting there with them in the upper room. He did all kinds of things. And then the Bible said in the book of Acts, he ascended back. And he left us a will. And I want to preach to you tonight on some things that you can find in God's will. Now, I'm not a lawyer that writes up last will and testaments. I've never sat and talked to one. But I find three things that are in a living will or a last will and testament or whatever you want to call it there that people leave behind that we can also find tonight in God's will. Number one, usually when a person dies and leaves this world and they leave a will behind, usually when that will is opened up, after they have left this world, and somebody, whoever has been left in charge of reading the will and executing the will out to the people, will open it up, and typically it will include a personal letter from the deceased. Most of the time, that person that's dying, when they write their will, will sit down and they will write a letter. Yeah, you see, Hollywood will portray it a lot of times like this, little selfie movies. Amen. Well, if you're watching this, that means I'm already gone. And, you know, and then they go on into their spiel. Well, that's kind of the way they do. They'll write the will and say, okay, here I want to write this out. This is what I desire to do with all of my estate and all of my goods and all these things. And they might say something to their children, amen, to their boys and to their girls. And they'll have a little personal conversation with them. Amen. And that's read from the executor of the estate. He reads that personal note that the one that left this world has pinned down just for them. Can I say something to you tonight? I give this as an example just because they're all here. And Amy made a statement about all four of them being here. Amen. So let's say tonight that Jeff Summerall graduates to be into heaven. And he writes and leaves a will. He's going to write a note in there for Sarah Beth. He's going to write a note in there for Jeffrey. He's going to write a note in there for Zachary. He's going to write a note in there for Hannah. Right? He's going to put a personal note probably in his will. Can I say something to you? Sarah Beth cannot tell Hannah what is in her will. That is a personal note between him and her. Amen? Listen, as much as a parent wants to treat all their children the same, and as much as they want to try to not have a respect for persons, there is still a personal relationship there. There is a relationship that he had with Sarah, and there's things that him and Sarah shared that him and Jeffrey didn't. There's things him and Jeffrey shared that him and Zach didn't, amen? And that's a personal walk that he had with them. Amen? So when we get to talking about God, and God has left this world, and can I tell you something tonight, friend? He left us a personal note.
Amen.
It's right here in the pages of this King James Bible. Amen. It is a personal note from God to me and you. Amen. And I listen, as much as I try tonight, I cannot fully explain to you what God is trying to say to your heart out of his will tonight, because why? It's a personal note from him to you. I can read this passage of Scripture, amen, and God can speak to my heart about one thing and Brother Mark's heart about another thing and Brother Bobby's heart about something else, and it's the same book, it's the same Scripture, it's the same words, amen. We're saved by the same God, amen. We're washed in the same blood. We got the same Holy Spirit, but there's something different in there. You say, why? It's a personal note from God to us. This is a book for everybody, but it ain't everybody's book.
Amen.
This is mine. This is my personal note from my Heavenly Father. When He ascended back to heaven, He gave me this personal note, and this is mine. It speaks to me. Amen. Listen, you know it'd be a shame tonight. It'd be a shame tonight, Jeff Summerall was to leave this world and write out his personal note to his children. Amen. And it'd be a real shame tonight if Sarah Beth never read that note. Would it not? I mean, Jeffrey reads his, and Hannah reads hers, and Zachary reads his, and then one day, boy, Jeffrey comes, he says, Sarah, what Dad say to you? Well, I don't really know. I haven't read it. You know what his reaction is going to be? What? You didn't read it? What do you mean you didn't read it? Huh? I mean, how do you know? I mean, he might have left it all to her. Amen. All the bills could be hers. That's probably why she didn't read it. You know, it's a shame, brother, that God would take the time to personally write us a letter and we won't even read it. I mean, He took the time to personally write us a letter. It costed Him His life on Calvary. It costed men and women and boys and girls their lives for years and years and years and years down through the pages of time. And He put it in our laps. He made it free to the whole world. Amen. It's there. It's accessible. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, I'll get another one at Christmas time and we don't even read it. We come to church and we act like we're saved. We come to church, we sit on the pews, we sing the songs, amen. We say we're worshiping God, and we say we love Jesus Christ, and we love the Lord, and we love the church, and we love serving God. And we can say, well, what's God saying to you? I don't know. I don't know what it said. I didn't read it. You do realize tonight that when you get to heaven, you're going to give an account for this book.
Amen.
You do know the judgment seat of Christ is coming to those who are saved.
Amen.
And in the Bible, at judgment seat of Christ, He says that we are going to be judged out of those things that were written, amen, that according to the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or bad. What do you think is going to determine good or bad?
Yeah.
People say this to you, well, you know, preacher, that's Old Testament. That don't apply to me. That's under the law, and I'm under grace. Well, praise God, I'm glad you are. And I agree with everything you said. I'm not under law. I don't have to obey the Sabbath, amen. I don't have to offer up all those sacrifices, praises, be under God. I don't have to do all that stuff. I don't have to do all them feasts and all that stuff, man. I don't glad. Thank God, amen. But you know what that Old Testament does to me? It tells me exactly what's in God's mind.
That's right.
Even though, hey, listen, Brother Bobby, even though we can get done tonight and we can go down to the Cracker Barrel and we can order us bacon and eggs, amen, we can eat all the bacon we want to and it don't make any difference if we take that thing with Thanksgiving. But God still don't really think it's a good idea.
Right.
So how do you know? It's in the book.
Amen.
It's in the book.
Right.
Amen. I mean, listen, I mean, we eat all kinds of stuff, but that don't mean it's healthy for us.
Amen.
You go wonder why we're keeping the doctors in business, amen? There you go. Well, you know, that sodomy, that Leviticus 18, now that's in the Old Testament. No, but that tells you exactly what God thinks about it.
Amen.
And He said, I'm God, and I change not, amen? I'm saying yesterday, today, and forever, amen? Listen, God is God,
amen.
And what that does is it tells us exactly what God thinks.
Right.
You know why there's so many forms of religion and so many people today that have these, well, you know, the Bible says so-and-so and it don't say it in the Bible. It's an old wise fable. You know why that is? They never read the book.
Amen.
Amen. I can tell we've hit a stump and I know we would. You can always preach on reading the Bible. I'm going to tell you right now, if we were to know the God's honest truth tonight, I'm talking about the truth that God already knows in your heart. out of this good crowd of people sitting in here, you'd be shocked how many of them has never read this book.
Amen.
You read all of the, what was that vampire book series they come out with? Twilight, you read all them. Louis L'Amour, what ain't that one of them famous, you read all his books, her books, whatever it is, amen. You read that stuff. Oh, you've read every Facebook post there is to find. You've read Fox News every morning. But you never read this book. You read pieces of this book. I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you. And it'd be the same, I don't care what church I went into. If you really knew the truth, like God knows the truth, the majority of the people that are sitting on the pews have never read the entire Bible. You say, what is that? That's God's personal note. He left it for you. And you don't even read it. Amen. You have no idea what's in it. You do know that's a common problem the Catholic Church had? The Catholic Church, that's the reason they fought against the Bible coming out. They didn't want a Bible in the common language in the hands of the people. Amen. You know why they didn't want that? They wanted the people to sit there at their mass services and all that stuff and let the priest tell them what God thought. And so now the devil's done the same thing to us. Amen. And he's got us, we got a Bible. We got a personal note from God. Amen. We got something that God wants us to have. And yet, hey, listen, we'd fight against all the Catholic traditions that they are, but yet we sit on a good Bible, believing independent Baptist, King James only, Bible preaching church pew, amen. And we sit there and we just simply let the preacher tell us what the Bible says. I think you got a good preacher, amen. I think Brother Mark's a great preacher, amen. Amen. I don't know, Brother Bobby, you still teaching Sunday school? Amen. I know Brother Bobby's a good Sunday school teacher. I don't know who else is teaching, but I believe you got good teachers. If you didn't, amen. Brother Mark would have done out of class, amen. He ain't going to let him teach it. They ain't good teachers. Amen. But can I tell you something? As good as Brother Mark is, as good as Brother Bobby is, as good as the rest of the Sunday school teachers are, you're not God.
Amen.
They're still men. They're still ladies. They're not God. They cannot replace Him.
Amen.
They can tell you what God tells them. But that does not fill the void of what God is wanting to tell you. There'll be some stuff in that wheel that will fit Sarah and Jeffrey and Hannah and Zachary, all four. It'll fit all of them. Matter of fact, there's a majority of the stuff that Jeff would put in that wheel that would fit all of those kids. But there'd be things in there that would only be for Jeffrey, would only be for Sarah. And if all you do is just let Sarah stand up as the oldest and say, okay, I'm going to tell y'all what Dad's wheel says. Well, she's just going to tell you those general things. There's something in there for you. Listen, if all you ever do is sit here and let Brother Mark preach to you and let everybody else teach you what's in that Bible and you never open it yourself, all you're going to get is what God has given him and them that will apply to everybody. You're going to miss the personal things from God.
Amen.
And God's got something in that book for you. But you ain't going to find it and you ain't going to get it, amen, if you ain't never opening it up and reading it. You know, this is a best-selling book on the market for an untold number of years now.
Amen.
I'd be willing to say it's probably the most neglected book, too. Me and my wife, she aggravates me. I'll get a book. I'll come home from a meeting. I'll get a book or I'll buy a book off the internet or something. She'll say, oh, boy, that's the next thing. You need another book. You ain't read all. I said, I've read every book in my study room. Just not all of it. I purposely, Brother Bobby, when I get it, I will purposely read at least the introduction so I can say I've read every book in my library, just not all of it. You know, ain't that how we treat the Bible? Just read what we want to of it, but we ain't never read it all. We'll pick out a spot here and yonder and jump all over the place, and then we wonder how come it is that we get everything so mixed up. You know, God's got a personal note just for you. It's in this Bible. Let me give you a second thing tonight that you're going to find. Second thing you're going to find in God's will is people. Mm-hmm. Now, when you write out a will, there's a will given out, and there's people mentioned in the will. Even if you're going to give it all to one individual, there's still people in the will. Amen. If Jeff said, okay, I'm giving it all out, I'm going to give it all to Sarah. Well, she's still in the will. He may not mention Jeffrey, Hannah, Zachary. He may not mention her name, but there's still people in the will. Regardless of who they are, how many they are, and for what reason, there's people in the will. Now, are you in God's will tonight? If we was to read God's will tonight out to Unity Baptist Church, is your name in there? They sang the song in the choir about our names being written down. Huh? Is your name pinned down in God's will? Amen. When it comes to salvation, amen, when it comes to that, God's will is titled the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in it? I mean, has your name been pinned down? Did God write your name down in His will when He left? You know, it'd be sad to gather around with your family, would it not? Your heart's already broken because your loved ones done left this world, went on home to be with the Lord. And yet here you are gathered around, and boy, it'd be real sad, amen. It'd be real sad to have them, name them and claim them. I mean, just, and you keep sitting there thinking, well, surely Dad will mention me. And they keep reading the will, and you're thinking, well, surely Dad will mention me. And they keep reading the will, and you keep thinking, well, surely Dad will mention me. I mean, I am his, right? Boy, it'd be sad if that executor up the estate finishes that will, folds it up, lays it aside, and your name ain't never been mentioned. You know what's going to happen one of these days? There's going to be a lot of people die, and they're going to leave this world. And they're going to think, surely to God, He'll mention my name. Surely to God, it's in there. I mean, after all, I was baptized. I did go to that church down there. It was a good church. Surely my name is going to be in there. And they're going to get to that great white throne judgment, and those names are going to be read up. And surely it's there. I know it's got to be there. I know it is. Then when it gets done to the end of that thing, you're going to close that book up, lay her aside. And you're going to be left standing there, and your name wasn't in there. And you will hear the most dreaded words ever spoken in the existence of man. Depart from me. I never knew you. But I knew you, Lord. I heard about you at the church. But I never knew you. But I talked about you, Lord, but I never knew you. Surely the goodness there, something I did that, and you know, it's just like every one of them. If that child is left out of that wheel, he's going to go to the leftovers, the ones that are left, and he's going to say, but I did this with that, and I did that with that, and we did this, and we did that, and I know goodness, surely why did he leave that to me? And then we're going to do the same thing with God. But God, but God, but God. And we're going to try to give God all the excuses and all the reasons why we should be in that wheel. And God's going to say, I never knew you. There's people in God's wheel. I hope everybody sitting here tonight, I hope your name's in God's wheel. But if it's not, I hope you'll pin it down tonight. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. He said, if you are a child of God, you're an heir. That's what the wheel's for, right? You're going to be in the wheel.
Come on.
If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's people in the wheel. Are you in God's will tonight? Amen. Romans chapter number 8, again in verse number 1 says, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." That's just one of many verses where you can find that in Christ. Are you in it? I hope you are. Let me give you the last thing tonight. There's a personal note found in the will. There's people found in the will. And then, this is really the driving force behind the majority of people. They could care less about the personal note. They could care less about their name. What is it that people look for when they go to the reading of a will? What is it? Come on, somebody help me.
Possessions.
Yeah, them possessions. What did daddy leave me? Boo-hoo, I'm sorry he's gone. I'm going to miss him. Who gets a house? Huh? Sarah says, I do. I'm the one that's got the kid. I need the house. Jeffrey says, no, I'm the oldest boy. I need the house. Which one's the youngest? Hannah, Zachary, which one of them? Hannah says, no, I'm the baby. It's mine. Huh? Are we not that way? Huh? I mean, even if we are truly grieving the death of our parents, there's still something inside that says, what did they leave me? I remember when my grandparents left this world. My grandpa done went on, and when my grandma went on, yeah, I miss them, and yeah, all that stuff. But one of the first things that came into my mind was I said, there's a picture on the wall. I sure would like to have it. Didn't get it. That's what was on my mind. I was told I was going to get it, but I didn't get it. Huh? Is it not always like that?
Amen.
I mean, what is it that, what can you give me now? I mean, you didn't give me enough off them life, amen. You didn't feed me and clothe me, and, amen, give me everything in the world under the sun, amen. Now that you're dead and gone, I want what you left.
Yeah.
Well, you know God's will is no different.
Right.
It's a personal note. It has people in it, but God left provisions in his will too. Yeah. You would tell you the first thing you can find in his will? Peace. Peace. Is that not what the world's searching for tonight? Oh man, I'm telling you, they're searching high and low for it. You know what keeps the drug addicts or the drug dealers in business? Drug addicts looking for peace. You know what keeps Anheuser-Busch cranking out the beer? People looking for peace.
Come on.
You know what's driving the economy of America and what's making people chase that almighty dollar? Somebody looking for peace. You know where you're going to get it? In the Prince of Peace. That's the only place you're going to find it. You can have peace in this world. I promise you that. But if you're going to get it, you're going to have to get it in the Prince of Peace. And he's only found in God's will. When you get in God's will, you'll have peace in your life. You try to live this world outside of God's will, hey, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a drunk, the dope head, the harlot, the whoremonger, amen. You don't have to do none of that stuff. You can be a good, upstanding citizen, work your job, take care of your family, do the things you're supposed to do. But if you're living out of God's will tonight, you will be miserable.
Amen.
Miserable. I don't care what you do. Your friends are not going to make you happy. A new spouse is not going to make you happy, amen. A new job's not going to make you happy. A new gun's not going to make you happy. A new desk and a new pocketbook ain't going to make you happy. A vacation ain't going to make you happy. Disney World ain't going to make you happy. Nothing's going to. Why? Because what you need is to get in God's will. You ain't going to have no peace until you get in there. People looking for peace tonight, but it's found in God's will. And if you're living in this world, especially as a child of God, without living in his will, you're not going to have no peace. Your family's going to fall apart. Your job's going to fall apart. Your homes, your vehicle's going to fly apart. Everything's going, you're going to have a bad day on top of a bad day on top of a bad day. You're going to call a preacher up and going, I need this prayer and I need that prayer. I don't know why everything's going so crazy. Well, probably because you ain't in the will of God. If you get in the will of God, you might find peace. Is it going to be easy in the will of God? No, absolutely not. But you'll find peace. I tell you something else you'll find. There's another provision in God's will. It's called comfort. It's called comfort. You're going to go through some hard times in this life.
Amen.
Your heart's going to be broken, shredded to pieces. Amen. Thrown out in the road and run over by a tractor trailer many, many times. You want some comfort? You'll find it in God's will. Amen. When you bury loved ones, you'll find comfort in God's will.
Amen.
Your children go haywire, you'll find comfort in God's will. When your health fails, you'll find comfort in God's will. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It's in God's will. It's a provision God put in His will. If you'll live in God's will, you can have some comfort. I tell you something else found in God's will, and that's eternal life.
Amen.
He said, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can have eternal life, but it's only in God's will. Amen. You're not going to get it anywhere else. I tell you another provision that's in God's will. Heaven. Mm-mm-mm. Boy, is that not something?
Amen.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I try to imagine it sometimes, don't you? What heaven would be like.
Yeah.
I mean, really? I don't have very much family over there. Most of my family, thankfully, by the grace of God, still living. And the ones that have graduated on, a lot of them wasn't saved. I do have a few. But I got a lot of friends over there. Amen. I was thinking the other day, don't know why I was thinking it, but I was thinking, I wonder if Earl Hughes has asked Danny Hall to sing a song that they ain't even practiced before. Now, if y'all don't know Earl Hughes and Danny Hall, that was a common trend. Camp meeting, Earl Hughes would get up to sing a song. He'd say, hey, Danny, come on up and help me. Danny has no idea how to play it. And even if he did, Earl Hughes is singing it so unorthodox, you ain't going to be able to keep up with him no how. I got to thinking about it. I thought, I wonder what they're doing. Larry Daniel, a good friend of mine that was in Columbus, Ohio with Jimmy Hood, passed away the other day. And when he did, I thought to myself, I wonder if old Brother Larry, Brother Hood, grabbed him a sign, went out there on the street of gold just for old time's sake. He said, that stuff ain't going on in heaven. Probably not, amen, but I don't know what's going on up there. But I know it's going to be good.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it, amen.
Amen.
And tonight be just fine with me.
Amen.
That's a provision God put in His will. That we can go to heaven when we leave this world.
Yes.
I'm going to give you one last thought tonight, and then I'm going to wind this thing up. To me, other than that peace and comfort there, this is one of the greatest provisions that God has ever put in His will. Fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. See, when you're walking in the will of God and you're living in the will of God, you'll have fellowship with Him like none other. Like none other. Can you imagine the fellowship that Peter and the Lord had out there on that sea? Walking hand in hand. You say, but Peter sunk. Yeah, I know he did. But he still had a fellowship with the Lord. Bible talks about how we are to put ourselves under the yoke of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Hughes preached this one time. He said, you know what the greatest blessing is about getting in the yoke with God? Now, for all you younger folks, amen, don't know what a yoke is. That's a big old wooden harness that they'd strap around the neck of two oxen, and it would tie those two oxen together, and then they would hook up a set of leads to those two oxen and hook them to a plow or a wagon or whatever it was that they was working with, and they would pull. And he said, you know what the greatest blessing is about getting in a yoke with Jesus Christ? And he would take those younger oxen, and they'd put them in there with a big old strong, well-trained oxen. And he'd teach him how to do the job. Brother Earl said this, he said, when you get in the yoke with Jesus Christ, he said, you cannot help it. Brother Mark, you just can't help it. Every once in a while,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll bump up against you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on.
Right in the middle, Brother Bobby, right in the middle of the stumps of life, right when you hit the rocks, and you got to get down there and plow real deep and real hard, and you think, God's already gone. Where's God at? Why is life so hard? All of a sudden, bam, you get a bump from the other side. And that's the Lord just saying, I got you. I'm here with you. Fellowship in the will of God is something that you cannot get nowhere else. And if you ever will submit yourselves 100% totally committed, sold out to the will of God for your life, and you take just a few steps in the will of God, you'll never be satisfied outside of that will. Nothing else will ever satisfy you. The fellowship with God while you're walking with Him in the perfect will of God is sweeter than anything you'll ever taste. Amen. It's scary. I'll be honest with you. Walking in the will of God is sometimes scary. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's filled with fear. But oh my, that fellowship. That fellowship we have with our Savior when we are in His will, there just ain't nothing like it. You know what's sad? There's going to be a lot of God's people going to leave this world saved by the blood of Jesus. I mean, born again just as sure as anybody else ever has been. They're going to graduate out of this life, and they're going to go to heaven. They're going to spend all eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, just like all the rest of the saved people are. And there's going to be a lot of them that's going to do it and having never experienced the fellowship of God in His perfect will. I tell you something. You know why that is? I go all the way back to my very first point. They never got in there in that note and found out what that will of God is. I'm telling you something tonight, church. God has a will for every individual that I'm looking at in this room tonight. From the oldest to the youngest. From the richest to the poorest. Male, female, it does not make any difference. Every single one of you in this room tonight, God has a will just for you. And in that will is many, many blessings. But you ain't going to find it nowhere else. And you know what's sad? There's going to be some of you that's going to hear me preach this message tonight. And you ain't even going to take the time to ask God what the will is for your life. Because you could care less. You're satisfied right where you're at. And you're not going to ask God what His will is for you. Some of you are going to ask God, what would you have me do? What's the will of God for my life? But then you ain't going to do it. But my hope and prayer is this tonight, that some of you will get on your face before God and ask God what His will is for your life. And then you'll get up and go do the will of God. And you'll walk the rest of your days in the will of God. Amen? There's great blessings in it.